to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the FTN NBA Podcast. Running solo here tonight. No Joe Metz, non-COVID illness. So Joe avoiding the health and safety protocols here at FTN, but sitting out tonight. We hope Joe gets better soon. And Adam Pfeiffer, still extremely busy in those NFL streets as the NFL regular season coming into its final few weeks here. I know the season-long NFL fantasy players are gearing up for the playoffs. A few more weeks here in the regular season until we get to the games that truly matter in the NFL postseason. But of course, here to talk about the NBA as always. And I'm recording this late Wednesday evening, kind of in the middle of a wild 9-game slate. Lots of mid-game injuries, a lot of tilt as always in the Discord channel. Really would have liked Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. to stay in this game for my listener league lineup, but alas, both of those guys out to start the second half for the Rockets. So I'm right there with a lot of the subscribers tilting the Rockets and kind of the rest of my lineup not looking great in the Super Draft listener league, but having some fun as well with the Top Shot Challenge going on tonight, a showcase for a base pack, I think. And you needed the players who made the last field goal in the first half from each of the 9 games tonight. So Fast Eddie Fear and myself having some fun in the first half of 8 of these 9 games that have already reached halftime, trying to speculate and get all those players. So that's been fun. And Adam and Joe should be back next week. We should have another listener league guest. So we'll update you on the league when that happens. But I wanted to jump on tonight and talk a little bit about the trade market, because we are 2 weeks out from an important date in the NBA trade landscape, and that's December 15th. And for those of you who aren't familiar with how this works on a year-to-year basis, December 15th is big because newly signed free agents from this past summer cannot be traded until December 15th. And I guess really the fine print of the collective bargaining agreement is December 15th or 3 months after the player signed with their new team, whichever is later. So for the majority of the players that you know meet these guidelines, it's going to be December 15th. And I guess some of the people that are players, I should say, that stand out, that fit that criteria, not necessarily all of these guys on the move or suspected to be traded or in trade rumors, but you know, some big names from a lot of these teams. You know, Dennis Schroeder falls into that category for the Celtics. The Nets have a ton of those guys. LaMarcus Aldridge, Patty Mills. You know, you can include Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap, James Johnson, the neck tat, et cetera. Kelly Oubre from the Hornets. The Bulls, a lot of guys, obviously, with how they overhauled their roster. Lonzo Ball in on that list. Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan. Don't expect to see any of those guys on the move here at the deadline. But Lauri Markkanen, Tim Hardaway Jr. is like, you know, kind of pick up the pace. It's a long list, but maybe the Nuggets with how much they've just been hit with all the bad luck in the league, it seems, over the last 5 or 6 weeks. I guess you could say dating back to the Jamal Murray injury really is when it kind of started going downhill for the Nuggets. But Will Barton, both of the Greens, Jermichael and Jeff, Austin Rivers, who is in the COVID protocols to, you know, kind of expand on the tough times the Nuggets are going through. When Austin Rivers being out in the protocols is actually affecting the success of your team, you know you're in a bad spot. Let's see. Warriors, Bielitsa, Iguodala. I don't think Iguodala is going anywhere, but if they, you know, needed to include a Bielitsa and Otto Porter, those guys become eligible here in 2 weeks. Nick Batum, Justice Winslow for the Clippers. Also Kawhi Leonard, technically. The Lakers have a lot of guys that probably not super attractive to other teams, but Carmelo Anthony, Trevor Ariza, Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, both bigs, Dwight and DeAndre, Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, Rajon Rondo, all of those guys will be eligible to be traded. You know, a lot of Heat guys, a lot of Knicks, some Bucks players for the Sixers. Obviously, a lot of talk around Ben Simmons will heat up once we pass December 15th. I think it's kind of the official start of the trade season, right? The Sixers, Andre Drummond, Danny Green, Georges Niang, the Knicks, Burks, Fournier, Taj, Nerlens, Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker may be somebody that's going to be on the move now that he is out of that Knicks rotation, seemingly for good. Phoenix, who might have a move to make, hovering around the top of the Western Conference. I shouldn't say at the top or around the top. They are at the top, I believe. Now the same 18-3 record with the Warriors, and I would assume now in the one spot based on the head-to-head tiebreaker, Suns taking down the Warriors on Tuesday night. My Spurs, not a lot of attractive pieces here, but guys like Kata Bates-Diop, Zach Collins, Brent Forbes, Doug McDermott, and my Aussie, Jock Landale. Raptors, Kimberch, Isak Bonga, Svi Mykhailiuk, Utah, Mike Conley, Rudy Gay, Hassan Whiteside, Wizards, Spencer Dinwiddie, Raul Neto. So there's a ton of guys here that become eligible to be traded on December 15th. So, you know, wanted to go through that list before I moved on. There's also, like, it's at, like, the collective bargaining agreement is long and complicated. There's I have not read it cover to cover, so to speak, but there's a subset of signees from this past off season that actually have an extra month tacked on to I guess the moratorium where they can't be traded, right? So these guys that have an extra month tacked on, they have to meet all of these criteria. So they have to re-sign with their previous team. So not, you know, not changing teams there. They have to have a 20% or more raise on their previous season's salary. And that salary has to be more than the minimum. The team has to be over the cap and had to have used either the bird rights or the early bird rights to sign said player. And as I'm diving deeper into the collective bargaining agreement here. So if you don't know, bird rights is an exception that allows any team in the league to go over the salary cap to re-sign their own guys, provided that team has the player's bird rights. And so to get bird rights, a player has to play for a team for three seasons without changing teams or in, you know, some odd, I guess, waive and then re-sign thing. I think you see that more in the NFL. But they can't clear waivers during that 3-year period either. So if a player meets that criteria, the team has their bird rights and can, you know, go over the cap to sign that player, et cetera. And then I guess I should also include that players that are signed with their bird rights can receive max contracts up to 5 years. And so then I mentioned when I was talking about the criteria for the extra month of trade moratorium, early bird rights. So the bird rights players can get max contracts with 5 years in length. The most a team can offer an early bird free agent without using cap space is 175% of that player's previous salary or 105% of the league average salary in the previous season, whichever is greater. That is the maximum salary that a team can offer early birds. So early birds are capped at 4 years rather than five, and the new contracts for early bird guys must run for at least 2 years. So early bird is when they have two seasons without clearing waivers or changing clubs as a free agent for a team. But obviously then the restrictions on how much you can actually pay that player come into play. So I'm rambling here. I think most people listening don't care that much about getting so deep into the CBA. But I do think it was interesting that I thought the list of players that would have the extra month tacked on would be really small. Like, I thought single digits. And it's not that much more than that number, but some interesting names here. John Collins, Jarrett Allen, TJ McConnell, Talon Horton-Tucker, Duncan Robinson, Josh Hart, Derrick Rose, Furkan Korkmaz, Cameron Payne, Norman Powell, Rashawn Holmes, Gary Trent Jr. So there's a few more on this list, but not no-name guys, you know, that can't be traded till January 15th. So just so we're all aware of that as we go into this, I just kind of wanted to fire off a couple trades. These are just somewhat made up, somewhat me picking the brains of other podcast talking heads, buddies, whatever. Just things that I've picked up, maybe my own twist on some of these deals. So yeah, let's jump into it. It's going to be a quick pod, but wanted to throw these out there. Maybe, you know, if anybody's got thoughts, if you think I'm maybe onto something or a complete idiot, I think more people may fall into that second category, but don't hesitate to reach out at Koeisenberg DFS. Let me know what you think about these trades or hit me up in the Discord if you're a subscriber. The first one that I wanted to talk about is does involve the Pacers and the Raptors. It's been a long time that the discussion around the front court in Indiana is you got to split these guys up. Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis. In my opinion, I think a lot of people just see them more as centers, or at least how the game is played today. I think both of those, it's tough. Like, I think we've seen the ceiling of Sabonis and Turner together. And so splitting them up and seeing what you can get for one or the other, I think is ideal. That's no hot take. People have been saying that for years, as I said, but you know, where do they go? What can they get back? That's the important thing. And which one do you trade? I've kind of always been, I think I'm in the minority on this. I've always been on the side of trade Sabonis. I think he's more attractive to most basketball fans, at least. I don't, you know, a lot of people working in the league know have access to so many more stats and metrics than I do. So they're probably also, maybe a lot of those people are on the same camp as me, thinking that Miles Turner is more important to a contending team just with his defense, rim defense, ability to switch on the perimeter, ability to step out and shoot the three and spread the floor on the offensive end. So for this trade, I mentioned the Raptors. This trade would be involve three players and one pick. And I'm sending Sabonis to Toronto. He's got 3 years on his deal, $18.5 million a year, and bringing back Pascal Siakam. So I heard I think it was Bill Simmons' podcast. I don't remember who he was talking to, but I think he brought up a Siakam for Sabonis trade. But I don't remember if they went any deeper than just those two players. And there's about a $14.5 million difference in the salaries between those two guys. So the trade straight up doesn't work. So to make these work, I'm also sending TJ Warren north of the border to Toronto. So Toronto picking up Sabonis, picking up TJ Warren, who obviously has been unfortunately injured for the better part of the last 3 years, it seems. But we've seen him flash some elite scoring upside. I think he can be a really good fourth man on a starting unit, a contender. Would be fantastic to have off the bench, but I don't think he's a bench caliber player. But I think he's somebody that the Raptors could use going forward. He's on an expiring contract, so they could also try to flip him again for something else if he's healthy, or just let him expire and they would have his maybe be the favorites to re-sign him on a team friendly deal. Going forward, you know, getting Siakam out of there would clear up a little bit of space between OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, certainly the future of the wing depth chart there in Toronto. But adding TJ Warren and Sabonis while giving up Siakam, I think could be a beneficial thing for the Raptors. And Pacers only getting back Siakam, I threw him a 2023 second round pick to make them feel a little bit better about what they're getting back. You got Siakam there locked up for 3 years. Putting him alongside Miles Turner, I think could be a good thing. He certainly gives you a defensive improvement over Sabonis. And, you know, a lineup with Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Holiday, Pascal Siakam, and Miles Turner, I don't care who else you put out there with them. Like, that is going to be a really strong defensive five. And again, the 2023 second is in there because 2023 is the double draft. And what I mean by that, if you're not aware, the 2023 draft is when the NBA is going to start allowing guys who graduated high school to come right to the league. So 18-year-olds don't have to go to college. So more like what we saw, you know, in the 90s, the early 2000s, before they put that rule that guys had to spend a year between high school and coming into the league. So you've got two draft classes in 2023, essentially, at least the top prospects, right? You're going to have two draft classes for the price of one. So any pick in the 2023 draft, to me, it should be held at a premium. And if your team trades 2023 picks, they better be contending for a title. So, you know, the Raptors probably not contending, I guess, out of this, but only a second rounder. I think this is somewhat mutually beneficial, maybe just kind of a reshuffling of the deck and not doing much for either in the terms of elevating their status in the East. But sure would shake things up in those lineups. So that's trade number one. Trade number two, another one that I've heard thrown about, but just wanted to bring it up again because we saw earlier this week, we heard the reports that John Wall met with the front office members for Houston saying, hey, I want to play. I know we, you know, agreed that I wasn't going to play. You guys were going to try to find a trade. So I picked up John Wall in the listener league in a season-long format, kind of hopeful that, you know, okay, maybe they're going to work something out. He's going to get in, maybe not start, maybe not play full minutes, but get on the court at least, you know, with the $44 million that Houston is paying John Wall to not play. And we've all seen how average at best the Lakers are right now. You know, a lot of people were very much, or I should say, very skeptical of Russell Westbrook coming over from Washington in the offseason. And I think those concerns have come to fruition, I guess, for lack of a better term. The Lakers do not look good. I don't think Russell Westbrook is the only problem, but certainly a $44 million issue that he's got a player option for next year, and wherever he is, he's not turning that down. So talking about those two players, I don't know who else you can get Russell Westbrook out of LA for, but John Wall. And John Wall, clearly not the same player as he was back in Washington pre-Achilles tear, pre-other bad injuries that he suffered in the last three and a half years. But I think he proved last year, like, he's John Wall is not dead. And John Wall is somebody that I think would be a better fit for this Lakers team. It's certainly not going to elevate them back to the top of the West. You know, they're not going to surpass Phoenix or Golden State on paper, at least from a move like this. I just think it makes you a better team. It gives you a better shot to maybe maneuver a couple other pieces leading up to the deadline where you can put together a team that, people who don't support the purple and gold can actually get on that bandwagon of, okay, like, this team can win a title. Because I don't think anybody in their right mind who has been paying close attention to this NBA season says that the Lakers can win a title right now as currently constructed. Count me in on that camp. I think this is just, there's not a ton of ways that the Lakers can get better right now. And I think this is a shift that could maybe spur some positive change for that roster. So trade number three shocker that you guys aren't getting out of here without some Spurs talk. But I think this is warranted because Thad Young is on an expiring contract. It's been assumed since he came over in the DeMar DeRozan trade this summer that the Spurs would flip him for whatever they can get at some point this season. So you talk about guys who, you talk about the December 15th deadline. Thad Young is one of the top ones to watch because I think there's multiple contenders that would want and greatly benefit from having a guy like Thad Young in the rotation coming off the bench to shore up, a roster getting ready to make a run. The NBA playoffs are long, so a lot of these teams want depth, and Thad Young's going to help a team like Phoenix, who has lost Dario Saric, probably whiffed on a guy like Jalen Smith in the draft last year. So some reinforcements, Frank Kaminsky, JaVale McGee, find JaVale McGee more serviceable, in my opinion, in a playoff series probably than Frank Kaminsky. It's matchup based, but Thad Young is way better than anything else that they have coming off the bench in the front court. So if the Spurs sent Thad Young to Phoenix, they could get back Dario Saric, recovering from the ACL tear that he had early in the summer, I guess midsummer, really, game one of the finals, if I recall correctly. So he won't be back this season. He's got 2 years left on his deal, $8.5 million. Not a terrible contract for a team that's rebuilding to take on. And then Jalen Smith, who I mentioned, wouldn't have any sort of crazy high ceiling at this point if he's traded, but he could certainly get some time for the Spurs team, and they could see what they have with him. And again, he's on his rookie contract, two more years on that after this one. And I think even they could decline the option that would be that fourth year for Jalen Smith. So it could be a guy who they only have for this year and next. And if he doesn't pan out, they could just get rid of him. And then I threw in, because that's Saric and Smith not really helping the San Antonio team move forward unless Jalen Smith came and really showed out and kind of raised that ceiling. So 2 second-round picks going back to the Spurs as well. One of those 2023. So I like to see that. I would love that. And then a 2025. Second rounder as well. So can the Spurs get more for Thad Young? Probably. But I think this one on paper makes sense now. And I don't hate the return moving Thad Young for that. I'm holding out hope they can sneak a first rounder, a late first rounder, from a contender, but we'll see what they do with Thad Young. We'll have our eyes on him certainly from December 15th onward. The last one that I put together here, and if you... you thought you're getting out of a trade podcast with no Spurs talk and no Ben Simmons talk, you were severely, severely mistaken. But this is one that I just kind of had fun with tonight. Threw this together. It's a three-teamer. And obviously we've got the 76ers, if we're talking Ben Simmons. I'm bringing in a team from the West Coast that has been talked about a lot in the Ben Simmons discussion in the NBA zeitgeist over the last, 5-6 months now that we've been dealing with this Ben Simmons saga. Not the Kings. A lot of Kings trades I see out there. People posting trade machines for De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton. And that could be a place, certainly, where Ben Simmons ends up. But I'm putting the Trailblazers in here. And then I mentioned a third team. We're throwing the Mavericks in as well. So we're going three-team trade. And this is a long one, so buckle in. The Blazers are getting Ben Simmons, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and the sophomore Josh Green, Aussie pick of the Mavericks last year. They're also picking up a lottery-protected 2022 first-round pick from the Mavericks. They also get a lottery-protected 2023 first-round pick from the Sixers. We talked about 2023 picks and how highly I value those. 2023 second round pick from the Sixers, and then another 2023 second round pick, which is from the Sixers that they acquired from Atlanta. And if you want to get technical, Atlanta acquired that pick from Charlotte, who acquired that pick from Brooklyn. So those four players, two first round picks, both lottery protected, but you wouldn't expect the Mavericks or the Sixers to fall out of the lottery this year, or fall into the lottery, I should say, this year or next, and then two 2023 second round picks. And I say shouldn't fall out of the lottery because the Sixers get back Damian Lillard. So then you have Dame, you have Tobias, you have Joel Embiid. And then you can move Tyrese Maxey somewhere else and get probably a pretty good player or two for the young point guard. That's a trade for another time. The Mavericks would be getting CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic. And this is a trade that couldn't happen until December 15th because of Tim Hardaway Jr. Obviously this is the Blazers completely, absolutely blowing it up and just buying into Ben Simmons being young, being still a really talented basketball player, just maybe not who we all thought he was. Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, putting him around Ben Simmons, Norman Powell still there. You know, you want to surround Ben Simmons with shooters, with 3-and-D guys, and Norman Powell and Tim Hardaway Jr., not your ideal 3-and-D guys, but, you know, not terrible for a rebuild there. Very solid NBA players, professional shooters to put around a guy like Ben Simmons. Dwight Powell would be expiring next year. And then Josh Green, lottery ticket, young guy. You know, you see how he played out. The Blazers pick up those two first-round picks, one of them being in the double draft, and then two 2023 second-round picks. So they get back maybe not as much of a haul as you would expect, and I think they're probably the team here that said, I would say they're not probably, they're definitely the team of the three that says no to this deal. But I think I think I've seen worse deals out there. And then the Mavericks, man, I know a lot of Dallas fans, have a lot of Dallas fans in my life, and I know they would be just ecstatic to roll out a lineup of Luka Doncic, CJ McCollum, Torian Finney-Smith, Kristaps Porzingis, and Yusuf Nurkic. You know, probably not winning the title with that team. Like, it would still be really tough to take on a team like the Warriors, but man, like, that would be just such a huge upgrade for the Mavericks. So maybe some more picks need to be thrown the Trailblazers' way, or some different players. But you know, if you've got the time or the willingness to do so, go check out the Trade Machine and make your own adjustments to the deal, and then let me know what you think, because I think this is just kind of a fun way to look at the Ben Simmons situation, bringing more teams in and completely blowing up the Blazers. You know, not so fun probably for any Oregonians listening, but you got to do it at some point, man, especially with this team, this Portland team that really hasn't gone anywhere. One trip, I think, to the conference finals, but yeah, got to change something up at some point. So that'll do it for me here. Like I said, a shorter pod than normal, but just having some fun here on Wednesday night and looking forward to trade season. So that'll do it for me. Again, you can find me on Twitter at @KawhiZenbergDFS. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, wherever you're listening to this. Looking forward to next week with Joe and Adam back, and whichever listener league guest will join us. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMets34, and at @KawhiZenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.